station, 103.7, The Beat.
It's the afternoon jam session. Session with PA on the station for the city, 103.7, The Beat.
Afternoon Jams, 103.7 to beat inside the drive at 5. It's 5:23 in Muskegon, 38 degrees outside Big Rock.
Yes, sir.
Every once in a while, you hear a story, man, and it gets to you and makes you like, wow. You hear a story of recovery. You hear a story of grace.
Yes.
You hear a story of mercy. And you connect with the individual. Last week, my oldest daughter, Monica Bester, was awarded the Master Social Worker Student of the Year for Wayne State University. And at the ceremony, there were other students from other colleges, and there were, of course, students from the bachelor's program.
Yes.
And the brother who got up and spoke before Monica got her award had just received the Bachelor's Social Worker Student of the Year in BSW. And he gave a story, Rob, that is right. Wow. And you can feel it. You can hear it. You can see it. How the Creator have given him a second, third, fourth, fifth chance at life. And here he is now, finding his way and getting his bachelor's degree.
Yes,
and
sir.
So I connected with a brother, and I was able to get him on the phone line. Eric Wilkins is on the phone line over in Detroit. Eric, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. A little busy running around taking care of some business with school, but everything's good.
Well, I just want a few minutes of your time. You spoke so prophetically last week. Tell us your story. You dealt with drugs, the drug use for a long time. How long was you on drugs?
Well, like I was saying at the awards ceremony, sometimes things are in a fog because of the substance abuses. But what I remember is that I think around the late 80s, I discovered while living here in Detroit that I had a serious drug problem. And I wanted to escape from it. So I figured what I would do is catch a Greyhound bus on the other side of the country. And since I wouldn't have any family or friends or know where the dope was, that would help me quit. I ended up moving out to San Diego, California, like I said, in the late 80s, and almost immediately the addiction picked right back up again, smoking cocaine. And that kind of developed into a lifestyle that led to me eventually being incarcerated. First, with doing county jail time, and then finally I had served two prison terms. The first one in 2000, I served 34 months, and the second time in 2008, I served 30 months. Usually all my offenses were somebody would walk up to me and ask me where they can buy something for $10 or $20 or $30. I take the money, run across the street, bring it back to them, and it would turn out to be an undercover officer. So I wrestled with that sort of lifestyle and even occasional homelessness from the late 80s all the way to finishing my last prison sentence. I was released November 2008. But it was that last prison sentence that I don't know, for some reason, things kind of clicked together in my head, in my heart, and I decided to use every day of my prison sentence to rehabilitate myself. And it was during that process of exercising and going to rehabilitation meetings and cultivating a daily meditation practice, also learning how to play the guitar, it was during that rehabilitation process in prison that I decided I want to become a substance abuse counselor like the people that I see here in prison trying to help me. And that's how I ended up returning to Detroit. I went to Wayne County Community College, graduated with honors, and then transferred over to Wayne State University, where I am now a senior in my last semester in the Bachelor of Social Work program. I'll be starting the master's program this summer.
Wow.
And that's, in a nutshell, the quick story of where I've been and where I've come to.
Describe yourself when you was going through this dark time in your life. Describe Eric Wilkins.
Let's see. That's a very good question. I think I was taking the substance so there wouldn't have to be any description. I believe that my life was full of some kind of undescribable pain and alienation that I used to drive the addiction. Mm. There were plenty of times when I didn't want to live anymore.
Mm.
But after I got out of that and came back to Detroit, my head kind of cleared up, well, continued to clear up. I thought to myself, why did I stay stuck in San Diego for all those years? You know, I could have been seeing so many beautiful sights out in California where I was living. But all of my world was just my hotel room, the liquor store, maybe heading to the streets to find somebody that's selling something. And it was just a continual rat race like that.
Wow.
And it was filled with many moments of despair, disgust, unhappiness.
Wow. Tell me, what kept you safe during that time? Because that is a long time to be on drugs. What kept Eric Wilkins safe?
That I wish I could give you that answer. I wish there was like something I could tell you that I knew.
Right. What can you share?
Yeah.
On the phone.
Okay. Sorry about that. A phone call was coming in.
Yeah.
I had to cancel it.
What can you? Go ahead.
Nothing. I was just fortunate because, like I was saying the other day, I can imagine that many people who were doing the same thing that I've done are either in life, doing life in prison or in the graveyard, because I've met some of those people while doing my time in prison. I remember one time, my first time going to prison, I was finally set into a building where I was going to be living for several months, maybe years. And I'm new there, and I look around at the various cell doors, kind of in the shape of a horseshoe, and I noticed that there was a sea, a black sea over some cells. So being a new guy, I asked somebody, what does that mean? And they said, that sea over those cells means those people are close custody and they're doing life.
Mm.
And it hit me that it looks like almost every third cell had a sea. I never imagined that so many people were doing life sentences. And I got to talk to a few of those guys. They turned out to be just regular people like me that had, most of them made a mistake that was around drugs and did a crime that caused them to catch their third strike. And sometimes it comes to me that I could have been one of those people spending the rest of my natural life in prison due to some action that was related to the addiction.
Well, was that your hardest battle throughout your life, is fighting that drug addiction?
Yes. I can't think of anything that I've come against that was more difficult than that. It started off as a recreational type of thing. I thought I was an artist, poet, musician of sorts, even though I wasn't really producing anything. But I kind of felt that that was who I was, an artistic explorer. And in my mind, I saw the dabbling with substances as part of that sort of an identity. in my early 20s, I guess you'd say.
Right.
So the first few things that I dabbled in, it was okay as far as I thought.
Right.
Little did I know it was leading to my trying smokable cocaine, and that put a grip on me that took 30 years to shake off. I had moments of leaving it alone, but for some reason I would always return, and then when I finally felt this last time kick in of recovery, and I knew that I was done, I looked in the mirror and I have gray hairs now.
Mm.
So
wow.
Yeah.
What keeps you strong now, Eric? What makes you strong?
Well, one of the things, there are several things, having good friends and family around. I think I also put a great stock in my daily meditation practice. Another source of strength for me is my goal of becoming a substance abuse counselor so that my own personal history, the tragedy of losing so many years to addictions, can be put to use to help somebody else that's dealing with substance abuse issues. I've also had insights into being poor and homeless or hungry. So I'm thinking that anybody, especially people having dealing with addictions, might have some sort of connection with me. I felt that connection at my internship where I'm working right now. As part of it, I've been facilitating group meetings among a bunch of mostly young men, either coming off of substance abuse or finishing their final months of their sentence in a rehabilitation facility. So, yeah, those things. There's probably a bunch of things that I can't think of or not saying right now.
Right, right.
But just staying on a positive path, knowing that this is what's best for me and for my fellow human beings.
Wow.
I guess that's about it.
Right. Eric Wilkins on the phone line. He's going to be graduating this spring, Rob, and with his bachelor's degree, man.
Wow.
And you know, that's like a 180 degree from where you were years ago. What kind of advice can you give to some people right now who are listening to me and they struggling with the cocaine addiction, crack cocaine addiction, heroin, and all this other stuff that's out there? What can you say to them?
Well, the one of the best pieces of advice that I can give to somebody is that they should give themselves a chance to experience life, the richness of life, without those substances. I think they should also be kind to themselves so that when they do slip or they fall back into the addiction over and over again, they shouldn't give up on trying to find a stable sense of recovery. I think a lot sometimes that people might think that not trying to recover or get rid of the addiction is best because they don't think they deserve it.
Wow.
But I think, from my perspective, life is a whole lot richer. I'm able to join the human race as a clear-headed human being. Life tastes so much sweeter without the substances.
Mm, that's good to know. I think
that they just should not give up. And they should believe in themselves, because that's where the strength is going to come from to shake the addiction, from within themselves. And another thing is, you know, it was hard for me, but I've done it, and others have done it.
Right.
The person should also remember that if others have done it, they can too.
Wow. Eric, what about the family members who are listening who have a loved one who is in addiction right now, struggling with it? What can you say to the family?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I know it's hard to deal with somebody that you love and you see that they've gone off the deep end, and it's, actually the behavior has become, you know, insane. So it has to be a mixture of not enabling them to continue their addiction, but at the same time, remember that within that person who's lost right now is a person that might be able to work their way out. It's never give up hope that that person might be able to change.
Right.
Sometimes it seems impossible to believe that a person whose behavior is so destructive can come back. But it has happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to many others who've finally awakened from the madness of addiction to return to their families and reconnect.
Can you recover from drugs but still be in the same environment?
By same environment, you mean still hanging out on the street corners with the same friends that you used to do drugs with?
Yes.
No. The reason I ask that question is because I don't look down on people who are still stuck in that. I understand where they are.
Right.
But I'm not going to hang out on a street corner with them because that's not what I want to do with my life anymore. And I know that's the easiest way to relapse, is to still hang out on the street corners, you know, watching everybody else drink and watching everybody else using drugs. And just all the other behaviors that are around those addictions. People forget sometimes. They think that the big problem is just the addiction, and it is. But there's so many other things that can go wrong around obtaining the drugs, or people fighting over them. People get murdered. People get life sentences around those things. People are killed in automobile accidents. So there's a host of other things that go along with the addiction that put a person at risk. And a wise person will step out of that and use their resources in other areas. And the only way they would be around something like that is just to share their story and hopefully convince somebody to come out of that. But to go hang out on a regular basis, that makes absolutely no sense to me.
Wow. Eric, while you were there, while you were struggling with addiction, did you believe at that time that you can get off drugs?
I think I did, but I didn't have the willpower to maintain it. So I think what I was doing was I remember one time telling myself, what I could do, hopefully, to help me, because this is while I was still actively using, I told myself, maybe what would help me is if I started to pay attention to when I'm happy. If I pay attention to my thinking and my emotions when I'm using the drugs regularly or when I'm not using. And I was hoping that sort of common sense would see that I am happier without them and without the confusion and the chaos that caused my life. Not alone, not to mention putting my very life at risk on a daily basis, either by using the substances or by going to obtain them.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was like risking my life regularly, but I didn't care. I had to get what I wanted to get, and you know, now that my head's clear and I look back at some of the situations that I put myself in, it's like you said, it's what kept me safe. But I have made it, and I'm hoping that my surviving that a benefit. Others trying to figure their way out in whatever way. I don't know. I don't know exactly how, but I'm hoping my education and just my sincere desire to work one-on-one or with groups or even this broadcast to share my story and hopefully somebody, somewhere, even if it's just one or two people, they'll see or hear something and say, you know what, I can do it too. And they can. People can do it. Right. But it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's better than the alternative.
You feel better now.
Pardon me?
You feel better now.
Yes. I still have my moments where, you know, I live in a world with stress and, you know, there's anger and have to deal with situations and I'm a human being as well. But now I can handle those situations. I don't let those situations push me over the edge into a behavior that I know will lead me to a dead end. Which is drinking and using drugs and running the streets and stuff. And going to jail and of course the ultimate is losing my life.
Right.
Or even perhaps my mind. And I no longer want that.
Wow. Eric, I know you got a short time, a couple more questions. What do you suggest folks who are struggling with addiction right now? What are some of the first things they need to start to look at and do to make that change?
First thing you have to do is you have to stop using. You have to put it down because once you stop using the drugs, then you can begin to have some clarity in your mind to make choices that will lead you away from the life that you're living. Then secondly, you have to connect with some sort of rehabilitation community. I advise that. Some people, NA or NA works. Other people, they need other forms of community therapy. You know, where you go to speak what's on your mind and hear other people's stories. And another thing that it's important, that these are the items that have worked for me, is exercise. You have to also maintain proper diet, nutritional-wise. I also recommend becoming active in community service. And another thing might be find other positive hobbies, like learning how to play an instrument, painting, writing, going back to school if that's your thing. Something that's heading in a positive direction. Because once a person removes these substances and the behaviors that are around using those substances, there's a void left behind. And unless a person fills that void with some positive activities on a regular basis, they're so much more susceptible to falling back into the addiction because they have left that void there unfilled.
Wow. All right, Eric, man, I know you are still in school and you made this thing work to do this interview. I'm so proud of you, man, to hear your story and to connect with you and to meet you. And I know there are other individuals out there who probably been through the similar thing and who have a story to tell. And I wish you nothing but the best, man. And your support systems seem to be strong. If you don't mind, and people don't know this, that he worked with my daughter. Tell Muskegon about Monica and how she's doing down there.
Tell Muskegon about Monica?
Yeah, I think y'all worked in a program together.
Oh, no. What it is I'm in a student organization under the umbrella of the social work department. And also she is, Monica is in the community service, I think, program, a student organization, I should say. So she came up with the idea, her and her members of the group, of having a clothing drive. I forget where we took the clothes to, but she spearheaded that, and I and some other fellow students and other fellow members of student organizations there at Wayne State Wayne State University helped collect clothing, and then finally that last day of the drive, we all took it down to this home and dropped off the clothing, and they were very happy that we... I wish I could remember the name of the place, but I can't. Monica right. wouldn't know.
Right, right. Well, before we go, if you look back where you come from, past 20, 30 years, are you happy with the new Eric?
Very, very, very happy. I'm happy because I can, you know, I can be of some good to other folks. I'm no longer causing havoc, you know, with my life and to people who meet me. Life has become so rich now, and I'm just so happy that I've found a real sense of gratitude for being alive. Life is such a precious thing that sometimes I think we get on the treadmill trying to do what we have to do with our daily lives, and we forget to be grateful. And I think that's one of the central themes that kind of holds me together, and it reminds me that I am on the right track, is that sense of gratitude to life in general and to each and every single individual who supported me along the way as I've rebuilt my life. I didn't get here alone. I've had tremendous support from so many friends and counselors and family members. As I said, I would not be here where I am today without that sort of support and guidance and people who believed in me, even when sometimes I didn't believe in myself that I could get this far. So I'm glad you mentioned that. It gave me a chance to say thank you to all those people who have helped me and still help me to this very day, even the professors and the staff members at Wayne State University's School of Social Work and my fellow students. All of that comes together to be something that I feel very fortunate to have experienced, and I'm very grateful.
Eric, are you on Facebook, Twitter, any of those things?
I don't do that stuff. I'm sorry. I email, I make phone calls.
Okay. I feel you. I feel you.
And I send text messages. That's as far as I've gone so far.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool, Eric. Man, let's keep in contact. I know you got school
yes,
today.
Sir. Yes, sir. And I want to thank you as well, Mr. Billings. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share my humble story. The only reason I agreed to this is because I'm just hoping that it can touch someone's heart, and by their own efforts, they can save their lives and return to their families and their community and return to sanity and become the human being that they were meant to be.
Exactly. Wow. Thanks, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Wow. Wow. I hope Muskegon got something out of that, man.
Yes, sir.
Amazing story. You can do it, man.
You can do it.
Sometimes it just don't seem like you can do it, and you want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose all the faith that you have in your body and your mind. You got to believe. He said one of the key words, Rob. You got to believe.
Yeah.
Just have a little faith.
Just a little faith. The faith of a mustard seed.
See, you can move some mountains.
Yeah.
It's hard to win. It's hard to see tomorrow. It's hard to see the goodness and the brightness of life without it. So important to who we are and how far we came. We got this far by faith. Thank Eric for that. Thank you. Keep here. It's Afternoon Jams.